50 years ago, The Blob oozed its way into movie theaters. It was one of many science fiction films that exploited the public's fascination with aliens. And now reporter Keith Brand looks back and finds that 50 years later, The Blob offers a unique view of the psychology of 1950s America.
If you were afraid of the Red Menace in the late 1950s, communism might not have been the only thing on your mind.
There's a man here with some sort of a parasite on his arm. It's assimilating his flesh at a frightening speed. I may have to get ahead of it and amputate. Now, I don't know what it is or where it came from.
In The Blob, the alien lands near a small town and starts dissolving the inhabitants. Films like The Blob, The Day the Earth Stood Still and It Came from Outer Space, made the most of our fears about an increasingly polarized political world where nuclear technology was out of control.
I think this is characteristic of the period itself, which, after all, was the time of McCarthyism and HUAC.
Christopher Sharrett is a professor of film and communication at Seton Hall University.
The Blob fits into this notion that science doesn't have all the answers. Because, after all, in The Blob, we don't really know what it is or where it comes from or what its ambition is. All it does is suck things up.
The Blob wasn't just a science fiction film. It was also a teen pick. In many of these 1950s films, the teenagers were out of control.
But here you've got teenagers as pretty benevolent forces.
At least I could have done is thank you for coming out tonight.
You didn't need to.
I never needed to talk to him before, not as much as I do now.
The producer of The Blob was Jack Harris. He saw in the young Steve McQueen the beginnings of a remarkable screen talent.
We had a guy that was about to become one of the biggest stars ever to hit the movie business, Steve McQueen.
In The Blob, he's the first one to encounter the alien and tries to warn the unsuspecting town.
This town is in danger. Now, several people have been killed already. Now we had to make this noise. We had to make it so you'd listen to us, so we could warn you.
At first, nobody except the teenagers believes McQueen. But by absorbing the bodies of its victims, the creature grows enormous. Finally, it's Steve McQueen who discovers its weakness and is able to stop it cold.
What are they going to do with that thing, Dave?
Well, the Air Force is sending a Globemaster in. They're flying it to the Arctic.
It's not dead, is it?
No, it's not. Just frozen.
At the close of the film, we're led to believe that the Blob's reign of terror might not have come to a permanent end. Mary Foote is the director of Blobfest, a yearly celebration of the Blob.
He ends up being shipped out to the Arctic. And the movie director put a big question mark at the end.
Why do you think it's a he?
I guess I just assumed. Trouble.
It's that troublesome disposition that leaves the audience with a clear moral choice in these films. It's them or us. Just as the politicians of the day took advantage of our fear of evil empires, so did the movies. But the science fiction films of the 1950s both exploited and allayed those fears. In The Blob, the alien is defeated, a small suburban town triumphs over adversity, teenagers are redeemed, and our way of life is preserved, at least until the 1960s. For NPR News, I'm Keith Brand.
Keith Brand, by the way, grew up in the town where The Blob was filmed. You can read his essay about The Blob and Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, on our website, npr.org.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door, all around the wall, a splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
One last note about The Blob, this theme song. A young, unknown songwriter was commissioned to write Beware of the Blob, and it went to number 33 on the Billboard pop chart. The songwriter was Burt Bacharach. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.